The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning, Hope Hill Church. Come on. Good morning. All right. My name is David Young. Pastor John is out of town this weekend. He had not just one, but two weddings to officiate this weekend. And so I have the honor of standing in. During the first service, I tried introducing myself as John Cousins just to see if I could get away with it. All right, I got the same response from them. You don't believe it either. And I'm trying to figure this out. How do they know? I mean, John and I look pretty much the eyes, hands, feet, pretty much the same. And I finally figured it out. John doesn't wear collars and he doesn't have a shirt tucked in. So if it wasn't for that, I could probably convince you I was wrong. 2 weeks ago, I was standing out in the hallway, and Stan informed me that I'm part of the tucked-in generation. And so that's something that I'll have to work on so I can relate. If you looked outside, heard outside, or drove outside, you were probably surrounded by motorcycles. Most of the morning. For a while, we were affiliated with a church that was east of Route 1. So we had to cross Route 1 to get to church. And on Sunday before Memorial Day, there was always about a 45-minute to an hour block of time when rolling thunder was coming north on Route 1, and you absolutely could not cross Route 1. And so we had to make our church plans around those opportune times of when we could cross Route 1 to get to the church. But it's all for a good cause. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's a day that was officially recognized following the Civil War, a war in which many, many Americans on both sides lost their lives on the battlefield. Fighting for what they believed in the cause of freedom. Since then, originally Memorial Day was to honor those who had actually died in the cause of freedom, in the cause of their country. It has since been expanded in which we honor all of those who have served their nation. And so we want to start this morning with a short video clip to honor those. And I'm going to ask if you would, and if your health permits, if you would stand. This is only about a 2-minute clip. If you would just stand, please, in honor of those who have served. How many of you have served in the military? Thank you. Thank you for your service. How many of you are the spouse or the son or the daughter of someone currently serving or who has served? Probably most of us. Thank you. Many times those who stay behind and take care of the family suffer and put a great deal of effort into supporting the cause right along with those on the front line. So we thank you as well. Father, we take this moment to honor those who have served our nation in the cause of freedom and of liberty and of justice, both those who have given their complete sacrifice of their lives and those who have suffered along in many other ways as well, and all of those who have served. We lift them up to you, God, and we thank you for the courageous men and women who have served our nation and who have served you, O Lord, in doing great works to bring about justice and liberty. We pray for the families of those left behind, some 2,600 men and women who have given their lives since September 11th and left behind loved ones, many of them. We ask your blessings upon them. We pray for our nation, O God, this critical juncture, as we face another election with many uncertainties about our future. We pray for your guidance and your blessings for our current president, and for the president to come, whoever that would be. Guide our nation, our voters, and all of our decision makers, O God, to go forward in justice and in peace. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This morning I want to talk to you about the power of words. The power of words. Now, when I was growing up, there was a little rhyme that said, "Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words can never hurt me." Of course, most of us have found out along the way that that's really not true at all. Words have a far greater impact on our lives and the lives of other people than perhaps we ever give it credit for. In 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. And he begins chapter 14 by actually comparing the gift of speaking in tongues with the gift of prophecy. And he says these words, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church." So in verse 3 there, he gives us a basic definition of the word prophecy or the concept of prophecy. When he says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Now, of course, we know that prophecy comes in various levels and various degrees. In the Old Testament, we had the great prophets such as Daniel and Ezekiel, Jeremiah and Isaiah, who prophesied not only events of their own time, but future events that would happen hundreds and thousands of years into the future. So that's prophecy at one level, in which God wants to send forth and establish a message and an understanding for people well into the future. And so that's a very deep level of prophecy. But at another place on the spectrum, Paul is introducing us to simply the basic concept that prophecy is an inspired message from God. When God gets into it, when God initiates it and sends it forth to accomplish His purpose, it can be very basic that may appear on the surface to be simply a word of encouragement. But if God is in it and God is sending it forth, it becomes prophecy. Words are very powerful in that regard. God, for instance, spoke the world into existence. If we go to Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Jesus used words to heal the sick and to raise the dead. We remember the story of Lazarus. Lazarus had died and had been buried and in the tomb for 3+ days. And Jesus came to bring him back. Jesus didn't go in there and physically take him by the hand and haul him out and try to resuscitate him. Jesus just stood at the mouth of the cave and said, "Lazarus, come forth. And this dead man woke up with his grave clothes, shaking them off, and came walking out of the tomb simply because Jesus spoke to him in the words of faith. Psalm 107:20 says, He sent forth His word and healed them. We also remember the story of when the disciples were out on the lake fishing, and there was a great storm. Jesus was actually asleep in the boat, and they woke him up, and they said to him, Lord, don't you care that we're about to drown? Why are you sitting here asleep when there's such chaos going on around us? And Jesus simply woke up, looked around, and spoke to the storm, and said, Peace. The storm became quiet. Words have a powerful influence in our lives and in the world around us. How many of you can remember a time when somebody spoke to you words that made a difference in your life? Anyone remember that? You remember something that somebody said to you that made a difference? Hopefully most of it was positive. But you may also remember times when people spoke hurtful words to you that also made an impact. And those words have a way of staying with you, sometimes for long periods of time. I can remember back through life, and I'm older than most people in this room, but I can remember 30, 40, 50 years ago, things that were said to me that have stayed with me. I can remember some hurtful things that were said and the emotions that were generated at the time those things were said. Not only do I remember the words, I remember how I felt when those things were said to me. Probably the people who said that had no idea that those words and those emotions would stay with me all of these years. I know we can say, oh, just be tough and get over it. It's just words and go on. Well, that's easy to say. But many of those things, the words that are said and the emotions, stay with us for long, long periods of time. And so Paul is writing here and he says, but those who speak prophecies speak to people for their strengthening and edification and their comfort. It may seem like, well, I wasn't prophesying. I was just speaking a word of encouragement. Sometimes God may just nudge you to go talk to somebody. You may just feel an urge. You see somebody in need, or you see somebody that's going through a difficult time in their life, and you just feel like you should go over and share with them. And it doesn't seem like any big deal. But in the midst of it, the Holy Spirit guides you and guides what you're saying in such a way that it makes a dramatic impact on that other person. One of the amazing things about this is that quite often, the person doing the speaking doesn't even realize when they're doing it that they're going out delivering a message from God. Oh, I was just sharing with a friend. I was just trying to encourage her. I was just offering a bit of advice. And we don't realize sometimes that God Himself has initiated that conversation and has sent you out to speak the message. I remember a time some years ago when I dropped by to visit some friends. And I didn't know what was going on in their life. I hadn't been there in a long time. I didn't know that there was trouble in the family. I didn't know that they were estranged from their daughter. I didn't know any of those things. I just dropped by for a visit. And I shared, and we just talked. And it seemed to be somewhat of an emotional visit, but I really didn't know the depth of it. I didn't know until after I left and some weeks later when someone told me the problems that were going on in this home and how they had reconciled and come back together following that short visit. I didn't know that I was going on a mission from God, but he knew. I didn't know what words I was supposed to say, but God arranged the visit and the words and the message in such a way that it drew a family back together. The beautifulness of it is that it isn't our words that make it prophetic. The power isn't from our thoughts or something that we have dreamed of. It's prophetic when God brings it together. It's prophetic when God initiates it. And it's not just your words, it is the Holy Spirit urging you on and guiding you in what you say and what you do. And it's prophetic when God arranges for the other person to hear what they need to hear. This morning as I was preparing for this, my mind was drawn to Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The scripture says that as they were filled with the Spirit, they begin to speak in other languages. And each person there heard the message of God in their own language. Now, we have long since recognized that there was two miracles taking place there. One was the miracle of the languages, of people speaking in languages that they apparently had never heard. But perhaps even a greater miracle was the fact that each person there heard the message in their own language. God had arranged for each person to hear what he, God, knew that that person needed to hear. So when God sends you out on your mission to speak a word of encouragement, of comfort to somebody else, you don't need to spend a whole lot of time figuring out what should I say, what did I do, how do I approach them, let me write down some notes. When it's from God, he will arrange not only for you to say what you need to say, but he will arrange for the other person to hear what they need to hear. It's not of you, it's of the Holy Spirit that is at work in and through you. Words are powerful. So who is it that should prophesy according to this definition of prophecy? What kinds of people? Old people, young people, trained people? The fact is, it's not just for preachers. He's writing this to the church at large. And he's saying to people, to all people, to you people, there are times when God may use you to speak the word of God, and it will not be about you. Preachers and prophets and those who speak comes in all different sizes and shapes. Amos, for instance, the Old Testament prophet, was a farmer. Isaiah was a statesman and a very polished writer. John the Baptist was a hellfire brimstone preacher. So they come in all kinds of different flavors. And then we have the reference in Acts that says, and Philip the evangelist had four daughters who prophesied. I wish we knew more about that, but we don't. We have no record of what these four women prophesied. There's no record of their prophecies. So they weren't like Daniel or Isaiah, who wrote out these long prophecies that would endure for generations to come. It wasn't intended to be that way. There were four women in the church who God used to speak a word of encouragement and strength and comfort to those around them. And according to Paul, that is a basic form of prophecy. How many of you have received from somebody, perhaps right in this congregation, right in this room? Maybe not the pastor, maybe a woman, a man, a youth, a somebody who has at one time or another come to you and just shared something from their heart that made a difference in your life. Has anyone received that? Many of you have. Many of you have. And that person who spoke to you, they probably didn't have any great training or any great background that made them effective. But it's part of the work of the Holy Spirit to equip each of us, to equip you and I, to do God's work. And so when He sends us out, it's not something that we have to study for and prepare for and get all ready, because it's God who's going to do it. So what makes it prophecy? And I don't use the word prophecy lightly, because we've created such controversy around the whole concept of prophecy. And it should not be that way. It's a good biblical word. We should feel comfortable using it. But it doesn't just mean somebody who, like John the Baptist, who wears a belt of leather around his waist, and as far as I can tell, that's all he had on. It was a loincloth, maybe a apron type thing, and he lived on a diet of locust and wild honey. If you want to read about some real wild prophets, go into the Old Testament and read some of those. Those guys did some pretty weird things. I'm not sure that they would fit very well into our society. They would probably send somebody to haul them off someplace, some of the wild things that they did. It doesn't have to be that way, but God just calls us sometimes, fills us with His Spirit, and sends us out to speak that word of encouragement. Speaking of the power of words, Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And then in the paraphrase from the Message Bible, "Words kill and words give life. They're either poison or fruit." Parents, I would encourage you to be careful of the words that you say to your children. Those words will be with them for a very long time, and they make a very strong impact. They may remember not only the words, but the emotions that come along with them, and they help define who they are. Words have a way of connecting with us emotionally, connecting with our hearts and with our minds and with our spirit. Words have a way of coming into us like seeds and growing and staying with us and multiplying and developing our character and who we are. Words are powerful, and they stay for a very long time. God has given you and I an amazing gift of being able to impact other people's lives by what we say to them. We sometimes use the phrase to speak into someone's life. We use that phrase because literally the words that you say to someone can enter into them, can go into their life and become a part of them. I mentioned that I can remember things that were said to me 40 or 50 years ago that created such strong emotional feelings in me that those words and that experience remains vivid in my mind. You as parents sow words into your children that stay with them for a lifetime. Make sure that those words you are sowing, those seeds you are sowing, are positive, are helpful, are encouraging, are comforting, are building them up into the kind of person that you want them to be, and not tearing them down. Even today, God may lead you to someone on a mission with a message. I said earlier, one of the beautiful things about this is that the person speaking often doesn't realize at the time that they are delivering God's message. The other beautiful thing is that we often don't know when it's going to happen. It may be somebody that you meet along the way. It could be a friend or a family member, or it could be even a complete stranger, and you didn't know this conversation was even going to take place. But God has arranged it. I like to refer to them as divine appointments. Divine appointments is the woman at the well who went to the well to draw some water, met Jesus there. They had a conversation that changed her life. She didn't know when she left home that morning that she was meeting Jesus at the well. She was just gone to get a bucket of water, but God had on his calendar a divine appointment for her that day. You don't know, but what today God has on his calendar, something for you. You may be meeting somebody who's going through a period of discouragement. You may be meeting somebody who's going through a change in their life and they need some help. They just need some encouragement. Sometimes they just need somebody to talk to and share with, somebody that they can open up with. And you may be God's, if I may use the word, you may be God's prophet to them. You may be God's chosen vessel to speak that word of strengthening, of encouragement, and comfort. Don't worry about your message. Don't try to write out a bunch of notes in advance. Don't try to Google the problem. Just go and be obedient to God and say what he puts on your heart. God may also lead you today to purposely go to someone that you have hurt or offended, or someone that has hurt or offended you, someone that you have a strained relationship with, someone that is just, it's not, the relationship isn't quite working, there's some coolness or frostiness there. God may lead you purposely to them today. Pick up the phone and call them, or to sit down next to them, and just to speak some words of healing, of grace, of comfort into that relationship. God has given you that amazing ability, not as a doctor or a nurse or a medical practitioner that takes care of the physical, but just through words of kindness, to bring about God's peace and his love and his healing in somebody else's life. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back now, and the communion servers and the prayer team. If you need prayer for any purpose at all, maybe God is speaking to you about something, maybe you want to make a commitment to God, whatever the need is that you would like prayer for, we have members of the prayer team. Who's on the prayer team this morning? Shows Alex, okay. And so typically every Sunday, back here by the communion team, typically every Sunday, if you're wondering who should I go to for prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. When John's here, he always does it as well. But we always have prayer team members stationed around. And they may or may not have on a little lanyard with a blue card that says, "May I pray for you?" But we invite you to come and let us pray with you this morning about whatever needs may be in your life. If God is especially speaking to you with a message that you're to deliver, and you need the encouragement and the boldness and the guidance to go do it, we would love to pray with you this morning.